All right, welcome to part three of Brand New, a series that we have started this year, orienting it around our idea that we love to make New Year's resolutions at the beginning of the year, really enjoying this series with you. And before we get into the series, though, today, just want to give you a couple of updates regarding the process that we are in. We are a very mission-minded church. Actually, we are a Great Commission church, by the way. If you didn't know that, we are a Great Commission church. That means we're all about bringing people to Christ. And that's local, and that's around the world, and we're very involved in missions. And we actually are in the process of actually adopting two children from an orphanage in Ukraine. The Ziner family is going to be adopting two boys. Say, that's awesome. That's awesome. All right. So, this process has taken about a year, really a little over a year, to fully complete. And the Ziners have traveled back to Ukraine, and at the end of the month, we are praying that they're going to be coming back with two, not orphans, but two sons. And so, in fact, let me just report to you that the adoption process has already occurred. In fact, let me just let somebody else share with you what's occurred. Check this out.
Hi, Crosspoint. How are you? We're in Western Nicolaides Church this morning in Ukraine. We meet Oleg Ziner and Bob Ziner. It is finished.
Thank you so much. Okay, that was it. She's giving us updates, and I don't know if you caught all that, but the adoption process has been completed. It's official, but I understand that you have to wait 10 days. I guess that's like a money-back guarantee. I don't know. You know, it's like when you buy something, you got 10 days to return it. But actually, you have to wait 10 days to get everything processed and also get all the passports and everything in order. So just want to just encourage those of you that really especially have been supportive of this and put your finances behind it. God bless you for making an eternal difference in two lives. Amen. And so we just celebrate that together. Come on, everybody. Let's just celebrate that. I want to look at this series today. And actually, this series is the hope of this series is to solve the resolution dilemma. And that dilemma is around the first of the year, we get in New Year's resolutions mode. And we all want to change things. There's things about our life that we want to change. But the dilemma is, if we only change the external, we only change the behavior, that is very temporary. It doesn't last. And we all know that New Year's resolutions don't last. In fact, I've been told that they last about 6 weeks. By Valentine's Day, it's about over. And we've already broken our New Year's resolutions. And so, but here's the thing, what we're trying to show in this series, and that is that while we oftentimes try to change the external, what really needs to change is the internal. And it's really about our, you know, when we try to change our behavior, that doesn't work. And what we really need to change is our beliefs, and that's on the inside. And what we're saying in this series is that your whole life is spiritual. And while we try to change different aspects of our life, if the spiritual is changed, it's going to affect every area of our life. Here's what I want us all to understand, and that is that we actually are a spiritual being that is living inside of a body. It's not that we're a body that happens to have a spirit. We're actually a spiritual being that is going to live forever somewhere. In fact, the Bible says that we're strangers in this land. We're just passing through. This is a temporary existence that we are in, but eternity is forever. But we're showing in this series a connection between the body and the spirit. Because when you get the spirit right, the body, the external, all these things are going to change along with that. And we're using this verse as our foundation verse for this series. It's found in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 that puts it this way. When someone becomes a Christian, he is a brand new person. Say it with me, everybody. Inside. He's not the same anymore. a new life has begun. And so in week one, we talked about having a new faith. And that is that when we get the inside right, when we get the spiritual man built up, the spiritual has the power to affect everything. Last week, we looked at new fitness. And that is a lot of us, some of the changes, especially at the beginning of the year, we want to change the physical, we want to change our diet, we want to change our exercise. And while all those things are good, if we try to change the body without changing the spirit, it really is futile. We've got to make sure that our spirit changes and we change from the inside out. Well, today the topic is new finances. And here's what I want us to understand about this. And that is that money is spiritual. It's not neutral. Money either has God's spirit on it or it has the world's spirit on it. I want to show you a little bit of that today in the scripture. It's powerful. And we know this, that money is spiritual. We know that it affects our life. I mean, we see it in statistics all the time. We see people killing each other because of money. We see deaths occurring. We see murders occurring. We see crime occurring. We see divorce happening because of money. In fact, the number one cause of divorce is money. It's over money. And so we need to understand its importance in our life and the effect it has, because if we don't, we're setting ourselves up for disaster. We need to understand that money has power. Money is there's a spirit to it. But it either has God's spirit on it or the world's spirit on it. I want to show that to you. Look in Luke chapter 16, verse 9. And this can be a very difficult verse to understand, and we're going to try to break it down here this morning. It begins by saying this: I say to you, make friends for yourselves by unrighteous mammon. Now, what it's saying there is, you're going to make money. You have unrighteous mammon, but you're going to. What he's saying here is, get God's spirit on it and use it to make friends. He says, I say to you, make friends for yourselves by unrighteous mammon, that when you fail, now really what it's saying there is, what it means is when you die, is what it actually is talking about there. When you die, when you fail, they may receive you into an everlasting home. Now what that's talking about there is that when you invest and you put God's spirit on money and you invest in those things that are eternal, here's what I believe. When you die, you're going to meet some friends, perhaps that you've never even met before, that's going to come up to you, maybe somebody from China, maybe somebody from Ukraine, and they're going to come up to you and they're going to say, thank you for investing, because of you I'm here. I just believe that there's some things that we don't understand how all these things work, but when the Bible says that when they will receive you into an everlasting home. Now, it goes on to say this: he who is faithful in what is least is faithful also in much. And he who is unjust in what is least is unjust also in much, of course. And then he says, therefore, if you have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? We're going to talk about what true riches here is in just a few moments. And if you have not been faithful in what is another man's, who will give you what is your own? And then Jesus goes on to say this in the scripture: no servant can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. So he's saying you can't serve two masters. You're going to serve one or the other. There's no neutrality there. You cannot serve God in mammon. Now I want to talk about that word mammon. It means more than just money. It's a proper noun. Actually, it's mammos. And actually, in biblical times, there was a god of mammon, and of a Syrian god. And this Syrian god, it was a spirit of mammon. And the spirit of mammon, listen to this, because this is powerful stuff. This spirit of mammon has the power to control people's lives. Now look at this. Either God's spirit is on it or the spirit of mammon is on it. And money in itself is not necessarily wrong, but the love of money, the Bible tells us, what spirit it has on it, what the purpose of the money is. And look at, I mean, we could see this actually when you look into some prophetic verses of what's going to happen in the end times. And by the way, I just want you to know, I don't believe we're in the end times. I believe we're the end of the end times. Okay? Did that get anybody's attention? And we know, as we study that, what's going to happen in the end time, there's going to be an Antichrist that's going to rise up and is going to rule the world. And do you know how he is going to rule the world, the power he's going to have that's going to rule the world? It's money. It's money. He's going to control the economy. You're going to have a lot of you have heard this all your life. Some of you it may be new to you, but there's something called the mark of the beast. And you got to have his mark to be able to buy or to sell. He's going to control things through money, through the economy. I mean, I don't know how that's going to work. You know, we got things now where you go through Walmart, you know, you go beep. You know, they say the mark's going to be either on your forehead or on your hand. I guess you're going to go through and they're going to go beep, you know, as you go through, right? I don't know. I don't know how that's going to work. But all I know is that there's a power, there's a controlling of, and the control is by money. When we look at money, we see the power of money. There's a survey that was taken in America about Americans finally tell the truth. And in this survey, it revealed some things. There was a question asked, and one of the questions was this: what would you be willing to do for $10 million? And the statistics are staggering. 25% said that they would abandon their entire family. You know, hey, I'm just gone, you know. Actually, did you hear about the woman who won $17 million and she called her boyfriend at the house and told him the great news? And he says, oh, that's great. She said, we're moving. She said, get ready to move. And he said, really? He said, hot weather or cold weather? And she said, it don't matter as long as you're gone when I get there. Pretty bad, isn't it? 23% would become a prostitute for a week or more. That's incredible, isn't it? 16% would give up their American citizenship. Goes on to say that 10% would withhold testimony, letting a murderer go free. 7% said would kill a stranger. Isn't that something? For $10 million. And how about this one? 3% would put their children up for adoption. Some of you would just do that for free, wouldn't you? That's awful. That's bad. That's bad. But really, when you look at these statistics, you're thinking, really? Really? Is that the condition that we are in as a country, as a nation? And I would go as far to say that there is a spirit of mammon operating over our nation right now. What we're doing as a nation is not, you know, we're in trouble. And there is really no fix for it. And we're trying to fix behavior, but as long as we're trying to fix behavior, it's not going to work. What we need to change is our beliefs. Our beliefs need to change. What we need is a revival in America. A revival in America. And you know how that starts. It starts with prayer. I want to encourage you to be here for 21 days of prayer. We've been doing this for 14 days. We've got 7 days left. And if you haven't joined in yet, join on. Jump on and do the last 7 days. Fast something, however you feel led. Make sure you know you follow the doctor's advice in that and what you're fasting. Some of you are giving up things actually that should never show back up. I mean, some media stuff, social media stuff that should never show back up on day 22. But when you fast, when you pray, things happen. And we're actually connecting here, and we're meeting here every Sunday, every morning of the week at 7 o'clock. Love to have you meet us here. We're connecting with another church where there's traffic jams trying to get in at 6 a.m. at that church to pray. And by the way, that particular church, just let me just give you some good news. Don't get jealous. Let's rejoice together. In the first 2 weeks of this year, they had 2,000 come to Christ. I can't help but feel that there's a revival already underway in America. Isn't that phenomenal? Isn't that phenomenal? And I just say, God, just let us be a part of it. Let us be a part of it. Amen? Amen. But here's what I know, and that is that money has power. And money has an ability to affect us. Money can be good or evil in depending on what spirit is upon it, if it's the spirit of the world or if it's God's spirit that's on that money. But there are a lot of lies that the enemy has put out there regarding mammon, regarding stuff, regarding things, regarding possessions, regarding money. And I want to give you three of those. You can write these down there in your message notes. They'll be up here on the screen for you. Number one is security, the lie of security. And we hear it. They even call it securities. You need securities, and you need money, and it's going to give you security. It's going to give you peace of mind. You're going to be able to sleep better at night. You know, if you just invest in this financial tool, it's going to give you security. And here's what it's going to do. It's going to build their big buildings uptown is what it's going to do. But it's not going to give you security. Folks, it's a lie. It's a lie. Are you hearing me? It's a lie. Money, mammon, will not give you security. Proverbs chapter 11, verse 28 says, "Whoever trusts in riches will fail, but the righteous will thrive like a green leaf." If you trust in riches, it won't work. It does not work. It's been tried over and over again. Let me just say this. The only true security is in God alone. I'm needing an amen right there. Come on, everybody. I said the only true security is in God alone. This part of the message has a little preach to it. I told somebody last week, they said, "Are you a preacher?" I said, "I try not to. I try not to be preachy. I try to deliver the message with encouragement." But I want to tell you, there's some preach right here that you need to get a hold of. And you're going to get your amens ready, all right, if you like to preach. Because listen, only in God alone is our security. People commit suicide over finances. I remember several years ago, before this church was built here, we were actually on campus at UNC Charlotte, meeting in the Denny building, if anybody knows where that is, having services over there, trying to start a new church. And I remember saying on a Sunday, the stock market could fall today, could fall any day. And on Tuesday of that week, the stock market fell. I guess I just call that coincidence, but the interesting thing was when that happened, there were people that were committing suicide because all of their security fell. I want to tell you, it will not give you security. It will not give you security. And I just want to encourage somebody, if you think that's going to give you security, you're going to go down a path searching for security in that vein all your life. You're going to find out it's a dead-end road. It will not fulfill you. It will not give you what you need. It's not in money. And I just want to encourage you, be free from that lie and know that only in God can you find security. Amen, everybody? Hebrews chapter 13 and 5 says this, "Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have, because God has said, 'Never will I leave you, never will I forsake you.' So we may say with confidence, 'The Lord is my helper. I will not be afraid. What can man do to me?'" Jesus Christ is your security. He's the one we lean on. He's the one that we put our trust in. Even in the Old Testament, there's a scripture that says that let the church arise and that there's going to become a great darkness over the earth. But listen, it will not come upon you. I want to tell you, even in the midst of famine, even in the midst of lack, we can be like David who says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." That means I'm not going to have any lack. I'm not going to go under. I don't know what's going to happen to people around me. All I know is my hope is in God. On Him I'm standing firm and strong, and He is my security. Amen? Number two, second lie is this. It will give you identity. Folks, it's a lie. It will give you an identity. It'll make you somebody. And so because we're looking for identity and we think money's going to make us somebody, we spend money we don't have to impress people we don't know. It's crazy, isn't it? We do foolish things because of the spirit of mammon. We go out and we have bad spending habits that are out of control, in debt, doing things we shouldn't do, getting in over our heads, trying to create an identity for ourselves. And I want to tell you, it's a lie. You don't find your identity in wealth. Luke chapter 12, verse 15 says this, "Then he said, 'Beware, don't be greedy for what you don't have. Real life is not measured by how much we own. Proverbs 1:39 says this, "For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well." The fact of the matter is, where does identity come from? It comes in Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. The Bible says that in Him we are made. We are made in His likeness and in His image. We are created, the Bible says we were formed ahead of time. God had already prepared works that we should do in this life for Him. He's made us special. He's made us unique. He has a special calling on our life. We have our identity in Him. And let me tell you something. The world will always try to tell you who you are. In fact, sometimes we get mixed up and we don't even know who we are. But let me tell you something. You're not who you think you are, and you're not who the world thinks you are. You're who God says you are in Jesus' name. And we need to understand that our identity is in Jesus Christ. In fact, that's why today we're having Discovery 301. We have Discovery 301 where we take you through and help you through a process of understanding how God's created you and helping you discover what your true identity is. The world perverts that. And I'm telling you, there's a lot of people, and I would even dare say there's a lot of Christians that have forgotten what their real identity is. It's more than your job title at work. It's more than your past. It's more than where you find yourself at in this situation that you're in right now. Your identity comes through Him. I was sharing with somebody actually yesterday about how, and I don't have time to delve into it now, but in the book of Daniel, you remember there were three guys? They called them the three Hebrew children. And the culture that they were in gave them new names. And they were trying to change their identity to fit the culture. Let me tell you, we don't fit the culture of this world. We are citizens of a new world, and our identity comes in Jesus Christ. Can I get a good amen? Number three, the third lie, it will give you happiness. Money will bring you happiness. It's not going to bring you happiness. Jim Carrey, you know who Jim Carrey is, the comedian? The Grinch who stole Christmas, everybody. Y'all know who Jim Carrey is. He says, "I wish everyone could be rich and famous and realize it doesn't solve any problems at all." It just doesn't. It doesn't make you happy. We've seen plenty of wealthy people that are miserable, committing suicide, crazy stuff. It doesn't make you happy. Robin Williams, a comedian, you think he's full of life and happy, and yet committed suicide. And I heard him in an interview sometime before his death talking about how he's struggling with trying to understand the purpose of all of this stuff. I want to tell you, you can only find it in Jesus Christ. Only in Him will you find true happiness. So Ecclesiastes chapter 5 says this, those who love money will never have enough. How absurd to think that wealth brings true happiness. It just doesn't work. It just doesn't work. And I want to say this, it's okay for you to have money, it's just not okay for money to have you. Okay? Right? So don't miss that part. Romans chapter 4 says this, "Happy are those whose sins are forgiven." How do I find happiness? Happy are those whose sins are forgiven, whose wrongs are pardoned. Happy is the person whom the Lord does not consider guilty. I would rather be guilt-free than debt-free. Now, I think it's good to be debt-free, but I want to tell you, to be guilt-free, that's what we need. We need to be guilt-free, and that's what Jesus offers. And let me say it again. It's okay to get God's, it's okay to have money, but you got to get God's Spirit on it, right? You got to get God's Spirit on it. Because here's the overreaction we get with this topic. There's two extremes. One extreme is the prosperity gospel, right? That says, I need a lot of stuff. I need 5 Rolls Royces. I mean, God wants to give me all. No, He doesn't. No, no, no. God wants you to be blessed so that you can make a difference in this world. That's why He wants to bless you, right? It's not so you can just hoard up. Even Jesus said, don't hoard it up in this world, right? And then there's another extreme, and that's the poverty gospel. That is that I'm just more spiritual if I don't have anything. You know, if I could just be lowly, poor me, you know, burlap sack, you know, Purina dog chow. Y'all don't know what that is anyway. Purina dog chow, burlap sack on my back, you know. And I could just, you know, then God will accept me. No to that one as well. God does want to bless you. He does want you to have an abundant life. He wants to bless you. He's come that you might have life and life more abundantly. But he blesses you to be a blessing. So here's my prayer. God, like the prayer of Jabez, God bless me and bless me indeed. Why? So I can be a blessing indeed. Amen? And I want to pray that over this church. God bless us and bless us indeed. Why? So we can look at us and have a name for ourselves? No. So that we can be a blessing and have influence, right? And pour into the lives of others. Amen? And so what do we need to do? I want us to look at 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 9, that says this: people who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. For the love of money, it's not just the money, but the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people, eager for money, have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. So what we're saying here is, money can either have this God's Spirit on it or the world's Spirit. So the question would be, how do we get God's Spirit on it? And it's very simple. God makes it very simple. God says, I want you to return to me what's mine, and I want you to take care of the rest of it. And really, God, what God is saying is everything on this planet really is mine. It really is. The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And it seems like lately there's a lot of funerals in my life right now. And I just got to tell you, none of them took it with them. I'm just letting you know. So, what we need to understand is that when we understand that all of it is God's, we honor God when we bring the tithe to Him. That's what the Bible calls it. And in Malachi, it actually says when you do that, He's going to rebuke the devourer for your sake. There's a promise attached to that, when you honor me. And it's really you honoring God. This is not, by the way, this is not preacher stuff. This is the gospel. And it works. And you say, well, you're just saying that stuff because you're a preacher and you want money. Okay, don't take my word for it. Ask anybody that's tithing if it works. And they'll tell you it works. And they would never stop because it works in their life. God's word is true. It will not return into Him void. And I get a little embarrassed saying this, but I sometimes feel like I need to say this disclaimer. In case you're new here, I don't get paid a penny from this church right now, okay? I'm bivocational, so I'm not after your wallet, all right? I'm trying to preach you truth that's going to set you free from the bondage of the spirit of mammon over your life that's controlling your life, amen? And this is what God says. It's a touchy subject, and we barely seldom hit this topic around here, but here's what I want us to understand. It's many times it's because there's an abuse of it that's been taught in wrong ways. And another reason that sometimes it's a touchy subject is because we're touchy because it's our God. Our little g God, but it's our God. So what I want to encourage us is to, I want to ask some questions, and in this series, every week we've just been putting it in a question form. And I want to present this in a question form, and that's the question number one there, and that is, am I returning the first? And really, it's a test of God to make sure that you have His Spirit on it. Am I returning the first? And by the way, you notice the Bible never says give your offering. You can't give what you don't have. It's not yours to give. You can only bring it. It already belongs to God. You can only bring what is already His. And so look at what it says here in Scripture. Proverbs chapter 3 says, honor the Lord. And I love this. Honor. We're going to honor Him. It honors Him. Honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. And look what happens. Then your barns will be filled to overflowing, and your vats will brim over with new wine. If you reject what I'm saying, you're not rejecting me, you're rejecting what the Word says. And so receive this. I hope that you receive this today. Deuteronomy says this in chapter 14. Be sure to set aside a tenth of all that your fields produce each year, so that you may learn to revere the Lord your God always. I believe in this principle. I've applied it my whole life. And I'm telling you, it works. Does trouble come? Yes, but God always takes care of me. Amen? And can I tell you, as a church, we've always applied this principle as a church. Every time you give in tithes to this church, there's a portion that goes out locally and globally around the world. We tithe out of this church, and God's blessing us. And by the way, when we do that, God honors us, and He takes care of us. So by that, I rest assured to know, just as I do in my own personal life as a church, God always takes care of us. The reason that God has sustained this church is not because of me, and it's not because of you, but because of Him. And when we're faithful, when we align ourselves with Him, He promises to take care of us, right? Amen, amen. I just say amen myself there. I just feel like amening today. All right. So look at this then. He says, I'm going to read this again. Deuteronomy, he says, be sure to set aside a tenth of all that your fields produce each year so that you may learn to revere the Lord your God always. And here's what he says. God blesses us as we honor Him, but here's another thing. He doesn't bless everybody the same. Have you ever noticed that? And part of that could be of how we are handling it. In other words, are we good stewards with the rest? Are we foolish or are we wise? Do we invest? If you were looking to invest in something, you would want to make sure it's a good investment. And so here's the second question. Am I stewarding the rest? Am I stewarding the rest? Luke chapter 16 says this, whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. Makes sense, right? And whoever is dishonest with very little will be dishonest with much. Goes on to say, so if you have not been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? And if you have not been trustworthy with someone else's property, who will give you property of your own? Folks, even the banks operate this way, right? Hopefully, right? So this is not a heaven or hell issue, but it's a matter of whether you have God's Spirit on this area of your life. And we're just trying to help you today. The third question is this. Am I focusing on true riches? And so what is true riches? True riches is not money, it's not mammon, it's not things, it's not stuff. Everybody look at me. True riches are people. It's people. People. Everybody say that with me. People. It's the most valuable thing in all of life. It's people. You want to focus on eternity? What's going to last forever? What's going to last for eternity? It's people. It's people. And I just got to say this. If your life is so out of order that you think your stuff is more important than people, then your life's really out of order. And you might need to examine yourself and make sure you get things straight and lined up as it should be. That's true riches. I mean, it's taking what you have and leveraging it to invest in others. It's if you got a swimming pool in your backyard and you invite the kids from the neighborhood over, so you can have conversations with them and have opportunity to, come on, to share with them the love of Jesus. It's what you do with what God has given you. And I believe God likes it when you return the first, when you steward the rest, and now you're focused on true riches. Matthew chapter 6, look at it. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal, but store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. There's an attachment there. Where your money goes, That's where your heart goes. Here's what I want us to do as a church. I want us to be able to make the biggest difference we can on this earth. That's what God's called us to do. And so we invest in those things that are eternal. Everything changes in our life. Would you bow your heads in prayer? Right now is just a time in our service where it's an opportunity to make a decision about whether we're going to operate trying to work things out on the external, or we're going to change and allow God to change the inside and change the internal. When the internal changes, everything else falls in order. And I believe there's a lot of people that have believed the lies of the enemy. And I just want to say about these lies, they do not work. They do not work. And I would ask the question, how's it working for you? How's it working? I look at the condition of our world, I look at the condition of America, and I realize it doesn't work. It doesn't work. Here's what we need. We need to get God's Spirit on our life. And I think a lot of us, we tried to do a lot of things in a lot of areas. We've talked about different things. We've talked about last week about the body. We've talked about external things. This week we're talking about even something as practical as our finances. But here's the deal, folks. Here's how this whole thing works, and that is inviting the Spirit of God in our heart. And when the Spirit of God lives in our heart, it affects everything. Everything just begins to take care of itself. That's why Jesus said this. He said, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. And so today, here's what we're going to do. I want to give an opportunity. You may be here today and you realize, you know, my life is just not in right order. There's some things that aren't right. It's not lined up right. And things aren't working. I'm frustrated. I'm working hard, but I'm not getting anywhere. And there's no peace. There's no joy. There's no happiness. And you realize it's not working. Today, I just want to give you an opportunity to invite Jesus in your heart, to fix the inside, to invite Him in, to put His Spirit. It's when His Spirit comes on something. It's when His Spirit comes in our heart that it works, and it's blessed, and everything changes. So today, if you're here and you know that you need to make a commitment to Christ, maybe you're far away from Him, maybe you've never come to Christ, or maybe you've been in relationship, but you know you're not where you need to be today. I just want to lead in a prayer. I'm not going to have you stand up or come to the front. I'm just going to lead you in a prayer. And before I lead you in that prayer, if that's you, would you just slip up a hand? I just want to know who I'm with. God bless you today. Anyone else? God bless you today. Anyone else? I'm so proud of you. God bless you for your courage today. Anyone else? God bless you today. All right? Those of you that know you need to pray this prayer, would you just pray this simple words? It's your prayer. Just pray it from your heart, but I'm just going to help you with the words. Just say, Lord Jesus, forgive me for going my own way. Forgive me for doing my thing, but not following you. Today, I give you my life. I open up my heart, and I invite your Spirit to come in. Jesus, come live inside of me. Thank you for forgiving me of my sins, of all my past. Thank you for paying for my sins. Now, God, make me guilt-free. God, thank you for freeing me from my sins. By faith, I accept your forgiveness. I accept you as Lord of my life. And with all my heart, I will follow you from this day forward, all the days of my life. Thank you, Jesus.